not long after the United Nations Security Council approved a resolution to enforce a no-fly zone over Libya, the U.S., France, and Britain launched multiple airstrikes targeting Muammar Gaddafi's air defenses and ground forces. The U.N. Security Council vote on March 17th was supported by 10 nations, with Russia, China, Germany, Brazil, and India abstaining. Libya's opposition movement, which grew into an armed rebellion when Gaddafi ordered the violent suppression of unarmed protesters, was by all accounts saved by the international airstrikes, as they were in full retreat and preparing to make a last stand in the rebel-held city of Benghazi. Although the UN resolution, supported by the Arab League, states that the mission of the no-fly zone is to prevent Gaddafi's military from harming civilians, the language is quite vague in specifying limits to the military intervention. Adding to concerns that the scope of the conflict could quickly expand is President Obama's repeated declaration that Gaddafi must go. Ohio Democratic Representative Dennis Kucinich asserted that under the U.S. Constitution, only Congress can declare war, which prompted his call for a House vote to cut off funding for Obama's Libya military action. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Michael Mandel, professor of law at York University in Toronto, Canada. He discusses why he thinks double standards and hypocrisy often guide U.S. foreign policy, including manipulation of international law, and the possible hidden motives for the U.S.-European military involvement in Libya's civil conflict.
The important thing to point out here is that it's not just a no-fly zone that's been authorized. It's much more serious than that. It's actually an authorization to take all necessary measures to protect civilians and civilian-populated areas under threat of attack. Basically, it's not just to patrol the skies, it's actually to stop ground attacks as well, and not only to protect civilians, but civilian-populated areas. It's an authorization for member states that want to do so to intervene militarily on the side of the rebels in Libya, and that's what's actually happened. So a lot of talk of the no-fly zone, but that's usually preliminary to this kind of thing, but here they stepped right into military action. Now, the interesting thing here is there are five dissents. It's abstentions, but if you read the speeches made by the Russians and the Chinese and the Germans and the Brazilians and the Indians, they were opposed to this. They went along with it. They didn't vote against it. They didn't stop it. But they were really, I've never seen anything like this, five countries making strong statements against the resolution without voting against it. So that shows the qualms that people have. And talking about the process, it was really precipitous, and that's what they said, that this hadn't been prepared very well. At least it hadn't been prepared as far as the Security Council was concerned. It had been rushed on them. You get the sense that somehow, just like in Kosovo and just like Iraq, it isn't all it appears to be. And humanitarian disaster, humanitarian intervention, again, one has to have their suspicions because that was the case, the claim in Iraq, it was the claim in Kosovo, and we know history shows that that wasn't the fact at all. These rebels seem to be depending on the help of the United States for a long time. This would be a familiar pattern. But they're desperately afraid of what's happening with the Arab revolutions, and they want to get control of it. And Libya has more oil reserves than anybody in Africa, and they're all in the east. So it all looks like a familiar pattern. You know, you have this local tragedy, which you've probably contributed to directly or indirectly over the years or immediately, and you blame it all on this one guy. You indict him at The Hague. They did that with Milosevic, and ultimately Saddam was hanged as well. Blame it all on them and use that as a kind of an excuse to intervene and kill a lot of people. I mean, they launched 110 Tomahawk missiles. Those things are crazy lethal and destructive, and there's charred bodies all over the place now. This is not to prevent a temporary humanitarian disaster. This is really about regime change and about siding with one side. And I don't trust the motives of the United States. I don't trust the motives of my own government.
Professor Mandel, when you look at the killing that's going on in U.S. allied nations of Bahrain and Yemen, where protesters, unarmed protesters in the street are being gunned down, and you look at the action here taken by the United States, France, Britain, Canada, and other nations under the United Nations Security Council resolution in Libya, it just seems that things aren't lining up. There seems to be a double standard at work here.
Well, yeah, it's also the Arab League, which is all, you know, these are the people of Mubarak. Mubarak was in power for 30 years without the billions of dollars a year by the United States to make sure that there was no revolution in Egypt and make sure that the people of Gaza were imprisoned. And the Saudi Arabians, obviously, these people are hated by the masses and the leadership. And without the weaponry and backing of the United States, Bahrain, we see Bahrain exactly what's happening there. No, the hypocrisy is just, somebody said it's not double standards anymore, it's triple standards, quadruple standards. And when we hear the Arab League is supporting this, well, we know the Arab League is these dictators that are supported by the West.
How much oil does Libya have? I've heard, estimates that about 2% of the world's production, and their oil resources are often minimized as to discount it as a motivation here.
I think it's second in the reserves to Saudi Arabia. It's got it's got untapped reserve in the Sahara. The ones that are being used now are all in the east around Benghazi. So there's an enormous amount of oil there, and the whole region is covered with oil, and the region is unstable now. I mean, it's been held in place by dictators backed by the West, and that's what these revolutions are about, and it's unpredictable how they'll turn out, and it's very important that they be managed. So Libya has an enormous amount of oil, and the companies are in there. There's 50 companies in there operating there, and there's a Canadian company that built a prison system for Gaddafi for about $1 billion. And so there's that, but it's a foothold. It's like the Balkans. It's like Iraq. You want troops on the ground. You want your friends in power, because the whole region, that whole North African region, is so important. Unfortunately, they saw this tragedy, like they saw the tragedy in Kosovo, as an opportunity to dictate the course of this and keep control over it. So Libya has an enormous amount of oil, and the people don't want to give their resources up so cheaply, but they have to do it at the point of a gun. So the dictator has been in place doing it, but now it's unstable. So that seems to me what's going on here, unfortunately. A lot of people are going to die, and are dying already from this, and have died in this region. You could consider this a continuation of the Afghanistan war, the Iraq war. It's just part of the same thing. Our empire that goes on the march in March needs to control this region.
That was Michael Mandel, professor of law at York University and author of the book How America Gets Away with Murder, Illegal Wars, Collateral Damage, and Crimes Against Humanity. Find more information on the Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.